Hey everybody, Barry Friedman back again. Today we're going to talk about spiritual freedom. And we're talking with Bill Lamond, as you know, about the pillars of freedom. And Bill is the inventor of fulfillment-based thinking. And as you remember, we've spoken about freedom from negativity and learned about the world above the line, the freedom from the past, and the freedom to create the future we want by doing completions and installations. And we've explored the freedom to be happy and fulfilled by applying the completion and installation processes to the culture of success at any price, right, that we tend to live in, and installing a new default setting, which is happiness. So, Bill, this fifth pillar of freedom, it sounds like a big topic, spiritual freedom. It's been debated and argued and fought over for millennia, right, and it seems to be deadlocked. But today, we're lucky. We're going to get freedom from that in a 15-minute talk, right? I'm ready for that.
Well, Barry, I'm happy to be doing this. This is a big topic, but I want to ask our listeners, please don't confuse spiritual freedom with religious freedom. Let me explain by tackling the subject of religious freedom first. That will set up our conversation about real spiritual freedom, and then we'll have a clearer view of it.
Perfect.
You could arguably say that more people have died over religious differences than any other cause. As we know, it's been a source of conflict all the way from the beginning. Nearly every religion claims it is here to fix our suffering and have a better world.
Yeah.
But really, where does suffering live? And the answer to that, as we found out in the first interview, is in the world below the line, the minus universe. We need to awaken to the idea that everything, including religions, is generated from models of reality. It's hard to take in that someone just made up your religion.
Mm.
The rituals and prayers you use, the way you act at a worship service, and even what you should be attending to in your life in order to be a good person. We just don't think about it because religions, well, they seem as if they've always been there. And a life with suffering just seems to be par for the course with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So take a moment and really take that in, and really take in the idea that we live with this thinking of the world below the line about suffering, something that we're all supposed to be having, is really just a function of a model we've created called the minus universe, which we really have bought into and agreed to as a species. Religions are not the problem. You don't need to defend the religion you're in. What the problem is that religions, like most of our institutions, are mired in thinking that is emblematic of the world below the line. They are the best fix for the world below the line, but they don't really fix it. They tell us about a heavenly place where we will go where there are no problems, no one is suffering, and people are happy and fulfilled. It's called heaven. We all know that. But get this and feel this in yourself. The world that religions call heaven is really what I'm talking about when I talk about the world above the line, where people are happy, there's opportunity, there's no problem going on, people live in harmony. In other words, once you know that, you can live in heaven, so to speak, just by using the model of the world above the line.
Yeah.
We can have what people have referred to as heaven on earth. We really can if we start using that model. And feel this in yourself. What we call heaven is simply the world above the line, taken all the way out to thriving and fulfillment, a state of continual happiness, which we think is impossible, but really is not. So it's something to take in, and I would play this again if I were listening to it, and just feel that.
Yeah.
What we call heaven is simply the world above the line, taken all the way out to thriving and fulfillment. In other words, a continual state of happiness. So for me, the greatest truth is that we could actually have that happy state right here on earth by learning to live in conscious awareness of the model of the world above the line and developing practices that are in accord with that world from our own personal experience of it, not by what other people are telling us to believe or what we have to think, but our own personal experience of it, in the same way that if you moved to Europe, you would have a personal experience of living in Europe. And no matter what people said about Europe, you would still have your own experience.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. And there is an important idea to grasp. We could develop a model of heaven by having enough people practice the world above the line and develop together as people the lay of the land, so to speak, the best strategy for living there permanently, the language spoken there, the customs and practices that make living in that world the most nourishing and fulfilling. It's possible. We could do it. We really don't need more believers. We need people who will commit to living this way and who will add their own personal experience about the ways we could live in that world. To paraphrase, this is a potential adventure that would boldly go where no one has gone before, because who we will have to be to live in the world above the line is not who we are now, plus some stuff and minus some baggage. Mm. As we learn for ourselves the practices that anchor us in the world above the line, our whole perception of who we are and what we're doing with our lives shifts radically for the better.
Yeah.
Radically.
Yeah.
Human beings really are not problems to solve, although that's the way we tend to think of ourselves. We are not problems to solve. So I'm sorry to say it that way.
Yeah.
But we are not problems to solve. We are actually potentialities to be fulfilled. As when you see your little baby, you look at that baby and you know there's a whole world of potential there. We are potentialities to be fulfilled. And who we are as fulfilled people is as wonderfully different from the world below the line and who we are in our suffering and pain as who we are after adolescence when we become adults. Being a child is wonderful, but being a full-grown adult is wonderful too, and it's a remarkable transformation. That's what happens when you live above the line. Mm. At the deepest level, my vision in my life work is to have enough people living in the world above the line that we could gain a brilliant consensus on what it takes to live this way and create a new model for what it is to be a human being.
Yeah.
That's real human potential. And, you know, there's many people listening who are in the human potential movement. That would be real human potential. As a matter of fact, I call these pillars of freedom and the technology and thinking I've been developing for more than 20 years the new disk operating system, so to speak, for the human potential movement. It's like human potential version 2.0.
That's what we need. That's funny. So this is starting to just feel almost hallucinogenic, and then I'm just hearing this stuff and taking it in and feeling like I'm just having a hard time fitting in a box in my brain. You mean the billions of words that have been spoken and written about the divide between religions can basically be boiled down to something as simple as the models of the worlds above and below the line. You know, one thing that I'm thinking, and I know our audience will need to know, is what in the world spiritual freedom might look like in the world above the line. And speaking of that, why haven't any of our religious leaders, I mean, we're certainly loaded with them, told us about this? Can feel myself getting worked up by this, and I want some answers about this.
Barry, thanks for saying that. I think that's on everyone's mind when they first hear this. That's exactly what I needed to find out. Why hasn't anyone told us this before? The real reason is that, as good-intentioned as our religious leaders are, they are in the same boat as all other people, meaning that they were taught the world below the line was, quotes, the real world, and it's just the way it is.
Mm.
An easy way to say this is that most people, even well-educated ones, live with a basic ignorance about the true nature of models, which, after all, are simply systems that people invent to explain, predict, and try to control the world they live in. They are not the absolute truth, but simply ways to gain information and power with the phenomena of our lives.
Yeah.
Simply put, you can't teach what you don't know. And since most people, religious or not, don't know that the world we call real is simply a model of reality called the world below the line and can be changed, we live with the fatalistic attitude that that's just the way it is, so we really don't do anything about it.
Mm.
We pray about it, and we feel bad about it, and we maybe give money toward helping people, but we really don't change it ultimately.
Mm.
So if you recall, everyone knows this story of the emperor's new clothes.
Yeah.
You remember that it was a child who, having not been carefully trained to believe the emperor had on clothes, which is what the court of the emperor had been trained to believe, he blurted out his famous, "The emperor has no clothes." It woke everyone up from the world of belief that they were carefully trained to believe in and gave them a different reality.
Wow, yeah.
So it's amazing to think and to know that the world we want is simply a tweak of belief away, and somehow we're missing the point. In other words, we could just turn the dial a little from the world below the line to the world above the line, we would have a whole different reality, and we keep missing the point. So, I mean, what if we could focus on getting more and more people to know about the world above the line? What if we could create enough gravity, so to speak, that more and more people start living in that world until there is a snowball effect and the idea of the world above the line takes on a life of its own? What if that world starts inspiring people to create new stories, books, movies, images of what the world above the line might look like, new blogs, so people can imagine it as a real and available way to live and see the advantage it would be? It's simply the idea that most people will need to know that the world above the line is available right now and that they can live there permanently. and we'll need people to show them what it looks like. That's where all of us come in. Unless you see some people actually living that way, it's very hard to grasp it. So the more people we have living that way, the easier it will be. And I'm thinking, just as I'm talking to you, that maybe someone listening to these interviews will be inspired to write a novel or a screenplay or a newspaper column or a blog that sparks this whole new model of thinking in people's minds so that it can really take off.
Oh, that'd be so remarkable. That would be worth everything. Your 20-plus years of work in this field, to just know that you inspired somebody to do that and start bringing that into reality. So you've been living above in the world above the line for more than 20 years. What's it look like to you? I mean, take us through a day or tell us what that looks like.
Okay, great. I'd love to. And I've got to say this first because it's so important to me right now. I've been saying for 23 years that I have been beta testing fulfillment-based thinking to see if it really works. And by that I mean, does it deliver the experience of living in the world above the line as an everyday way of thinking? As of this year, I'm very happy and thrilled to say after 23 years of testing, I can truthfully say that it does. It's proven itself to me. I've spent a lot of years with it, and now I'm really clear that it works. I didn't think it would take this long to test it, but it did. And all I can say is that I'm filled with gratitude that it works.
It's a thorough test, Bill.
Yeah, it's a big acknowledgement of what it really takes to bring a new idea into the world and really see what it looks like.
Yeah.
So having said that, which is a very wonderful and important announcement to make, I'm happy to tell our listeners some really wonderful ideas about ways to operate with spiritual freedom in the world above the line. They are not theoretical, but are based on my own experiences and the experiences of thousands of people whom I've coached. I'll list them. Ready? Here we go. First spiritual principle is that one spiritual freedom is the freedom to be fulfilled spiritually. In the world above the line, this is the freedom to feel filled and deeply nourished by your spiritual practices. In other words, if you believe anything or do any practices that are not fulfilling for you, they cannot, by definition, be the right thing for you in the world above the line.
Wow.
You calibrate your experience not to what other people tell you you should be experiencing, but rather to what you are actually experiencing, and you make the decision about what spiritual practices you'll do based on how fulfilling they are to you. And this is very different. I know having grown up in a very strict religious environment, I saw people going through the motions, but not expressing the joy and happiness that religion is supposed to grant. But imagine that you decide which practices you'll do because they give you your fulfillment and they give you your happiness. Listen, imagine taking a religion that you wish to practice and actually testing it out to see what fills you and what doesn't, and simply doing the practices that feel right and nourishing for you. I know, people will say that you have to do whatever religion asks of you, even if you don't like it, or you'll be punished.
That's the rules.
But I say, the rules. But I say that people doing things from this point of view are really in a kind of coercion, and they're people trapped in the world below the line who believe that suffering and coercion are part of the game.
Wow.
I'm going to give our listeners a simple piece of coaching that can change your lives. Do a completion on your current view of God and install a view of God that fills you up and makes you happy.
So you're talking about the freedom to imagine God in the image closest to your heart, not what we've been told, but really something that sits and holds me and is close to my heart.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, all of the people who founded new religions or spiritual practices did just that.
Right.
With their own image of God, and they began practices related to it.
Mm.
So it's not foreign to us. We just think that we don't have the power to do it.
Right. It's power. It seems like we almost cast us on somebody else, and we'll say, we'll just jump on their ship.
That's exactly right. But the great thing is to go for yourself and have the journey.
Yeah.
So that's one freedom. The second freedom is the freedom to unleash your spirit and really express it. Notice that this freedom has nothing to do with religious beliefs or even practices. It is about the thing that we all want for our children, namely the full expression of their spirit, their gifts, their individuality, their happiness. In one manner of speaking, the only true act of gratitude to whatever created us, whether you call it God, universe, spirit, consciousness, is to express what you were born with and celebrate it.
Yeah.
You can do completions on your current level of expressing your spirit, your gifts, your individuality, and your happiness. Then you can install whatever puts you more in touch with your true spirit, and that's a real leap forward in freedom to express yourself.
Well, so you're not just talking about something I need to understand philosophically. This is about changing my beliefs right now so I have more spiritual freedom.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. This isn't a mental exercise.
Right.
It's the practical ability to change your perspective to give you more of what you really want, whether it's spiritual or financial or emotional or any area of your life.
Yeah.
And this is a great godly power. If there is a spiritual power, this power to change our reality and change our consciousness is one of the most extraordinary powers we have.
That is.
Now, the third spiritual freedom is the freedom to be yourself. That is, to be able to say in a real way who you are not, what you want from life, what you have to give, what you're having and what you're not having, what you're a yes for, what you're a no for, and all the other things that make you unique. When you have that freedom, you are said to have voice. And I'm using voice here with a capital V, meaning the spiritual power to really announce yourself and be yourself in the world, which, as you know, if you talk to many people intimately, as I do, most people don't have the full freedom to do that. Yeah, so I can hear that this is landing in you, Barry. I hope that our audience is taking in at the same level. I feel very
happy. Huge. You're basically giving me a right to and encouraging me to own some of this stuff that I've always just felt like was put on me.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you.
This is the point of fulfillment-based thinking. Now, the fourth spiritual freedom is the freedom to feel safe, to know that God is not out to get you, to judge you, to condemn you. The God who lives in the world below the line seems to do that with something akin to righteous indignation, even pleasure, like a notorious judge who loves throwing the book at us. In the world above the line, you simply laugh or roll your eyes at that thought and say something like, "What a wild and wacky idea. This would be a great script for a horror movie." Oh, no, we have to strike. Well, no, we have to strike that because there's no horror in the world above the line. That's the point. No one could be entertained by it, let alone live in it.
Yeah.
See how ingrained this below-the-line model is? We immediately go to, geez, it would make a good horror script.
Yeah,
in the
right.
world above the line, there's no such thing as horror because you're in a potentiality of goodness all the time. Very different.
Well, it just seems so different from what I've been taught. I mean, it's hard to imagine a world where people are actually doing only what expresses freedom, happiness, fulfillment, genius, pleasure, all these things, let alone a world where there is no punishing elements in religion. I mean, that's the basis of a lot of this stuff is guilt, and you know, it would be a completely different world. Now, do you ever get afraid that people just go crazy with the freedom and make things worse?
Well, let me just say, yes, it would be a completely different world. And no, I'm not afraid that people would go crazy with the freedom. In my own experience of working with people for 30 years, including 10 years as a psychotherapist, I have found that what really makes people crazy are the conflicts they live in regarding what they are told they should be and who they really are. And they're trying to match up to all of these expectations of who they should be, but they're not expressing who they are. And that conflict itself makes people do the craziest things because of the explosive tension it creates. In the world above the line, you know that you are fine the way you are, and you have the freedom to choose how to express yourself, and that's period, bottom line, that's the way it is. It's like this. The world below the line is like being born into a neighborhood that is not safe. You can't go out at night. You have to protect yourself. Every day is a series of problems to deal with. Moving to the world above the line is like moving to a way better neighborhood where you don't have to lock your door every minute, where the neighbors are friendly and expect more out of life and are enjoying it. It might take some getting used to when you've lived in that other neighborhood, but ultimately you sigh a huge sigh of relief when you realize that you are safe, that no one is going to threaten you, and that the people in your neighborhood, they just want to know you and enjoy having you as a neighbor. And for me, that experience is heaven. That's what it's like to live in heaven, where you feel at home, safe, people love you, they want to know you. Here's what I have to say. Move out of the slum of the world below the line, and that's what it is. It's a slum. Give up the idea of attack and punishment and something wrong. Let go of the idea that something is broken in human beings, especially in you. You've got a lifetime to relocate yourself, so to speak, to the world you really want. But frankly, the sooner the better.
Right.
Why wait another second for the quality of life that you want?
Yeah.
So start by doing completions and installations that take you into the world above the line. Take baby steps to learn how to live in this new world of freedom. But take a step every single day, just like babies do, so you build a sense of constancy in moving forward. Sooner or later, you'll realize that you're comfortable in your new neighborhood, the world above the line. Worship the way that feels best to you. Express your spirit in the way that fulfills you. Though many people believe we live many lives, in truth, this moment and this life are all we have right now. So now's the time, Barry. I want to say that to all of our listeners. There is no other time except now. Now's the time. Move out of the slums. Start living in another world.
Yeah, and everything you've talked about in these five interviews, Bill, none of them have made me think, well, I'll start that next year. I mean, all the stuff you've talked about is just so doable and achievable, and it sounds like a more natural way for people to achieve greatness in their life instead of always waiting. So I just want to say thank you so much. You know, there you have it. This isn't a system for getting better or trying harder, but it's a way of life, of freedom and joy, because I can naturally feel how much I want that as you speak about it. And the people that have been in our projects over the years and the people we talk to on our calls, it's just beautiful to see people living this way. And I want to say for myself that learning to think and live in the world above the line and use the principles of fulfillment-based thinking have changed the whole view I have of what's available and what's possible and what I'm doing day to day, minute to minute. Well, everyone, I hope these interviews will inspire you to give yourself the freedom you really deserve and live in the world you truly want. To hear more from Bill, more interviews, more blog posts, more writings, stay on this list. I know occasionally Bill's going to keep you updated on stuff, and who knows what'll develop. And Bill, I just want to thank you so much for the time and energy you've put into these conversations.
Barry, it's my pleasure. I hope our audiences really enjoy this. And remember what I'm saying. Move out of the slums. Start living in the world you want to live in. It's your right to do it. It's your personal right. So please take advantage of that. Thanks again, Barry.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.